Okay, we'll go ahead and call the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee meeting together. The time is 8:07, and today is Tuesday, May 1st. For the record, we have Co-Chairman Morgan, Representative Scalzi, Representative Guest, and myself, Co-Chair Meyer. Before us today is Senate Bill 88, Metropolitan Planning Organization. The sponsor is here. Senator Phillips, would you please join us? Morning, Senator. We'll turn the floor over to you if you want to...
Mr. Chairman, thank you for having a hearing on this. For the record, I'm Randy Phillips representing Senate District L. Senate Bill 88, this is round number 6. On this bill, so it's thoroughly discussed, at least in the committees. I know some of you have seen this bill before. Basically, this only this applies only to Anchorage for the time being. Fairbanks may be affected in the future, as well as Mat-Su. The policy, the AMAT's policy study, has two components. One, you have a technical committee. I think there's something like 14 or 20 people involved on the technical side, and then they in turn give recommendations to the policy committee. This bill only refers to the policy committee, and all the policy committee is made up of appointed two appointed positions by the governor, DEC, transportation, and then on the municipal side, three elected officials, two assembly people, and one mayor. What we're going to do here is we're adding one representative appointed by the Speaker, one senator appointed by the President of the Senate. Person has to be from the community, obviously, and hopefully there'll be some understanding between the Speaker and the President of the Senate in appointing these two individuals, that that person will represent all of Anchorage, not just a certain part of Anchorage. And in your packet, you have a letter from the mayor supporting Mayor of Anchorage, supporting this concept. And the reason I have introduced this thing is, frankly, out of frustration. I think by having two legislators on it, one senator and one representative, complements the AMAT process. It doesn't detract from it. I think it gives another direct say from directly elected officials from constituents to this policy committee to make up the policy for the Anchorage area and their road projects. And I've watched this process over the last 10, 12 years, whenever it's been around, and it sort of really came to a head for me last fall when we had two of our projects sort of slide down or sideways, and not because just specifically those two projects, but observed this, watched this from the sidelines, and I think, you know, the legislature is going to appropriate 10% of the funds, and I think the people in our districts should have a direct say on that policy committee and where and how and the rankings of the road projects within the AMAT process. For those who are outside the Anchorage area, this is just put yourself in our position, and that is this is another layer you have to go through just to get to the projects to DOT. And those legislators outside of the Anchorage area, you deal just strictly with DOT. And I'll give you an example of that. When we had the problems last fall, I called the commissioner. The commissioner says, call AMAT. The AMAT says, talk to the policy committee. And it's just, it goes on and on and on. And I just think that by having one senator, one representative that's elected and directly responsible to the people, rather than have appointed positions, in making these policy calls. You're going to hear some testimony that this is dual officeship against our Constitution. State of Hawaii has similar provisions in their state constitution and is allowed, and they have allowed legislators to be on their version of AMAP. The other thing I might add that if that argument is made, we have the Student Loan Commission, which might add there are two elected officials on that 14-member commission, very similar situation there because they pass on policy, and of course we look at it, and there's appropriations done through the legislature here on that. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to conclude my remarks. I just think that by having two elected members out of the Anchorage area, they will complement the policy committee rather than the track. I'll answer any questions best of my ability.
Thank you, Senator Phillips. I have one question before we get started here. I noticed on the bill itself you have a effective date of July 1st, 2002.
Yes.
That's
date? Correct.
Okay.
It just is, I want to have about a year's transition in this thing, make sure the Speaker of the House, President, Senate, confer with the members within the within our Anchorage caucus and pick the best people that can best represent Anchorage as a whole. And that's the reason why a one-year delay on this thing. And also give the policy committee getting used to this concept of having two legislators on this policy committee. So give them time to think about it.
Any questions for the sponsor? By the way, Representative Halpro has joined us. Go ahead, Chair.
Senator, in order to get around the dual office holding concern, have you considered making the legislative members ex officio?
No. Mr. Chairman, let me just, I want to emphasize again that the state of Hawaii has it. And also, you should have a letter in there from the Federal Highway Administration saying that there's nothing wrong with having two legislators on the AMAS committee.
Anything else, Representative Hillcoin? Go ahead.
Just to follow up, because I just found in my packet this morning a letter from George Schoner, the director from the Federal Highway Administration, but he seems to take the other attack. He says, an action by the legislature without the consent and support of local officials would appear to be inconsistent with the intent of 23 U.S.C. 134. So is this the letter you're referring to where he says it's okay?
No. In your package, you should have a letter back in February stating that two legislators on the policy committee is okay. If you don't have my staff person, we'll get it for you.
Any other questions?
I'll go ahead with a letter from George Schoen.
Yeah, that's good.
In this letter, he says...
On February 22nd, Mr. Chairman, we'll go ahead and make some copies.
Okay, we can come back to your person and help us with this letter. Any other questions? Seeing none, we do have people lined up to testify.
Chairman, I think you have.
Oh, Representative Guest, I'm sorry.
I did, and I was trying to read this letter. Senator Phillips, I just was wondering, it's interesting, even though I've had to deal with DOT and AMETS a lot on this Glen Highway project, and if you want some money, I'm more than willing.
Well,
I have $50 million to give away to anyone who wants
right.
it. I actually found it very interesting that no members at large sit on this. No members of the public sit on AMAS. It's all elected officials or people who work for elected officials. Have you thought at all about putting members from the Anchorage
community? No, I haven't. And, I'd entertain that, but I don't know whether that's against FHA, Federal Highway Administration rules, regulations, laws, or state laws, or whatever. I don't know. And are you saying to put a public at large with a real vote on the policy committee?
Well, it was actually, it caught my eye in your sponsor statement when you said this will provide a more adequate level of citizen representation, and then as I read through, it just kind of hit me that there were no just kind of two pure citizens.
Well, frankly, I would entertain it, but I think you better ask DOT and South Anchorage and the Federal Highway Administration how they feel about it. No, I haven't thought about it, but I like it, at least at first blush.
Anything else, Representative Guest?
No, I'm going to read this letter that we just got.
Yeah, I know.
I think theoretically, the public is represented on AMAT through their elected representatives. But it's an interesting idea, Representative Gaffney. Representative Helfgro, did you have a follow-up question for Senator Bill?
Mr. Chair, just a comment. It seems we have two letters that contradictory. We have one from David Miller that the Senator just handed out, dated February 22nd, that says it's fine, it provides great flexibility. And then there's another one from George Schoner on the same letterhead that says it's not it wasn't the intent, and we see some problems with it. So this is the first time I've seen this.
Any comments, Senator? Are those all going
well, Mr. Chairman, I mean, quite frankly, the administration, DOT, Ms. Fallon-Anchorage have been opposing this bill. That's why I said round six. This is round number six. We got probably another three or four rounds before this is over with. I think it's up to us to make that policy decision. That's what it comes down to. And I might add, eight of the nine Anchorage senators voted for this bill. So that ought to tell you something is definitely wrong in Dodge City. I just think that we make policy decisions. We appropriate the dollars. I think as directly elected officials, we should have some say on those priorities. And this is not meant to take anything away from the policy committee. It's to add something. And I don't know why the fear is coming from DOT or from the policy committee or from the Anchorage Assembly. We have a letter here from the mayor. He says it's okay, and he's a voting member of this policy committee. And I do know that there are former assembly people who are now House members or Senate members that favor this thing. So you're going to have differences of opinion, and I think it frankly comes down to what you want to call it, control or say or whatever you want to call it. It's just differences of opinion. And I think this body and House as a whole is going to have to make that policy decision. Some of you guys who are new, you're going to experience the AMAT system and spend a few years with it, and then you'll reach my conclusion.
Okay, thank you. Representative Scalzi.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We heard this in transportation, I think two hearings, and we got quite a few things fleshed out. And first of all, on the regard for the Department of Law, where it says disqualifications, it specifically says no legislator may hold an officer position for profit. This is not a position where it's paid. I would be in violation myself, as I sit on the International Pacific Halibut Commission, and I cleared that before I took this legislative job, that I could hold both seats, and that was okay. So I disagree with the Department of Law's conclusion there. And Senator Phillips pointed out in this letter that although the Department of Transportation has no problem with an official sitting on this, that's also true from what we heard in testimony, because the representation on the board is discretionary. However, I think the only thing that I heard that might conflict with SB 88 is the fact that, I think when they refer to the regs, it says providing the provisions of Title 23 CFR Section 450 are followed. I believe in there is what the department said, the board has to nominate, or the board has to vote these members in. I think that was the rub that we heard. I'll let Department of Transportation speak for themselves, but if the board so chose to put elected officials on there, they could do that. There's nothing that precludes them from doing that. It's just the methodology is from what I think we gathered in the previous meetings.
Thank you, Representative Guest.
Go ahead, Chairman. That's not going to happen. That's why the bill is introduced. Simply not going to happen. We're not going to get an invitation. We'll never get it. So I just think that, I guess for me, I'm a little tired of getting beat up from constituents on actions from basically a non-appointed, at least on the state side, non-elected officials for their actions. And I have no way to get there other than show up some meetings and make my wishes known. They may or may not take it. And I think that if I work hard for the constituency as well as you representatives do,
then, you know, you don't want to be held accountable for something that you don't have any direct, and I quote, direct responsibility towards those decisions. That's where I'm coming from. Now, if the AMAS committee wants to get elected directly by the people in Anchorage, so be it. And that's fine with me, and then you can make all the decisions you want. That's why Representative Guest's concept, I'm open to it. Maybe you should have two public members, but probably just something in the rules and regulations against that, too. So I'll let DOT and Federal Highway Administration address your question on that by putting two public members on as voting members of the policy committee, and I bet you there's something against that, too. But this has been a constant battle. And the whole process has been going on, and it seems like the administration, somebody's coming up with an excuse why not to do this. I just wish they would just say, we're against the bill, it's bad public policy, and leave it at that. I can handle that. But every step of the way, there's been something else crops up, and it's just, you know, it'll make my hair turn gray, and it's black.
Representative Gift, question.
I just had a quick question, Senator. I kind of read the same thing Drew did, that it's okay if the committee puts two legislators on, but it's not okay for the legislator without consent to then put on. Has your office gotten a legal opinion on whether or not our federal dollars would be at risk if we talked to the federal government about that, if we did such an action?
Not on that particular question. The question I asked Tam Cook, our legal advisor, was, is there anything in the Constitution, state statutes, federal regulations, whatever, for having a legislator on this policy committee? And the answer is no. Okay. Do I have something in writing? No. But I did confer with her, and the subject matter came up about dual officeship. And in her opinion, there's no problem with it. Now, if you want a written opinion, I'll try to get it.
No, I was just more interested on, it seems like the cups might be who makes that decision versus whether or not they sit out. And maybe
I'm sure if we answer that question, something else will come up on why we can't do this. I hate to sound so negative, but I just wish the DOT and others would just say this is bad public policy and we're against it, flat out. I can accept that. But we'll pursue that question and see what we can do, and we'll see what else comes up.
Representative Hill.
Thank you. Senator, we have, in our community council, we have an AMATS representative, and she's very outspoken about the AMATS procedure. And she's told story upon story about how she shows up and the agenda's changed or the meeting's been canceled. And she says, you know, it's almost as if sometimes she feels as if they don't want her there, so they specifically, I mean, and this is just, but that's neither here nor there. My question to you is, have you heard that kind of feedback as far as?
Representative Halcrow, I personally experienced it, where they say, show up at 10 o'clock, City Hall, 8th floor, Mayor's Conference Room. So I take some time out off of work, a real job during the interim, show up, nobody around. You know, what's going on here? Or it's been moved. And I've had my staff person go out there every time in the last 2-3 years to the policy committee to meet and observe what's going on. So, and besides, one of the things I would like to see is this policy committee meeting to have their meetings when it's convenient for the public, not for them. And, you know, usually it's about 10 o'clock or 1 o'clock in the middle of the week. Most people have to earn a living during those hours. But I've actually experienced myself, so your constituent is right on. This is personal experience now, not just hearsay.
Any other questions? Thank you, Senator. You might want to stay
around. Yeah, I will.
we are joined also by Representative Sisna in the audience.
Welcome.
Let's see. We do have several people online in Anchorage. These names look very familiar. Like my friends from the Assembly. So we have one person here in Juneau. Why don't we go ahead and take Bill Cummings, and then we'll go online to Anchorage. Mr. Cummings, if you would state your name and who you're representing, please, for the record.
Yes, my name is Bill Cummings. I'm an assistant. considered 88 as it's been proposed and introduced by Senator Phillips, and it's our conclusion following authority and precedent going back 20 years provisions in the state constitution which prohibit dual office holding by legislators. There are parallel positions relating to, in our review of the matter over the last 20 some odd years, it doesn't really make a difference whether or not the person actually gets paid a wage for the job that he's holding, but instead it's a matter of the fact that this person is holding a second office, you know, under state law. And we believe that legislation, as presented, does do that, and hence we issued a couple of different letters in response to this particular bill that says that this bill violates the dual office holding provisions of the state constitution. So this bill is going to mark a real fundamental change in how business is done in regard to AMATS. Right now, it's a creature more or less of the municipality. With this bill, it's going to change that relationship, and it's going to make it very much a state agency. And I think that there ought to be some real concerns expressed about it, about what this does to, you know, local government and things like that. And that particular issue is addressed in the most recent correspondence from the Federal Highway Administration. And it's my understanding from reviewing that statute and reviewing the letter that's been provided most recently that the AMATS process, or the Metropolitan Transportation Planning process, under 23 U.S.C. Section 134, is to provide local input and local control of how these federal dollars are spent. This legislation will change that. So I'm open to any questions and abuse or whatever.
Do you have some questions, Representative Scales?
Yeah, I guess the first one is, am I in violation of this act, according to what you heard from my dual seats?
I don't know. I haven't reviewed it. I don't know the nature of the policy body that you're on, because it turns upon what you're actually doing. Is it a matter of collecting information and disseminating information, or is it a matter of actually making policy and managing a particular activity? And I, for want of better information, I couldn't hazard a guess right now without, you know, meeting with you, and we'd reason together.
Go ahead.
That was the Halibut Commission. How about all, say, Chamber of Commerce or boards of Volcano Interpretive Center, Fish and Wildlife Center? There's a lot of boards that people ask you to sit on. And
well, if it's a matter of collecting and disseminating information, and if it's merely some sort of citizen board in relation to a particular facility, I'd say no, it's not a problem. On the other hand, if you're hiring and firing executive directors and making capital budget decisions, there's likely a problem. But again, it's a matter of the specifics, and it turns on a case-by-case, analysis. And I wish I could give you a black letter sign we could hang up on the back wall, but we can't do that, because it's a complicated analysis.
And one more. The regulatory body that would review this, like I say, I checked it out with the speaker before I took the oath, and I guess who checks up on legislators? Because I know we all sit on various things.
Well, that's one of the things that in a letter that was included in my initial correspondence with Senator Ward on this, that we. Christopher Cook over in Bethel was appointed to the Superior Court bench, and he was also sitting on the Board of Regents of the University of Alaska. Holding, you can't do this. In other words, that's dual office holding, because the University of Alaska, is an organ of the state. It's a situation where, in the appropriate case, maybe the Attorney General would take action, an aggrieved citizen. And it would be a very, nasty public spectacle, which, we can avoid that by not having legislation, which puts legislators at risk. And in an extreme case, it could be that the argument would be made that you have forfeited your legislative position and you have a choice to make. Do you want to sit in the legislature or do you want to sit on the AMATS board? And it might be just that stark.
So it's just, it's complaint driven is what the answer
yes.
would be. Okay.
Yes, and there was another comment made about the student loan board. You know, the Alaska?
Commission on Post-Secondary
yeah,
Education.
Yeah, right, it's a name about that long. We objected to the that's a different type board in a lot of ways because it is such a large board. This board is under SB 88 is very small and whatnot, and the impact of the legislative members could be quite profound compared to, the impact could be profound in the way that it operates in comparison to how it was, or how it is under current law.
Anything else, Representative Scalzi? Representative Gibbs.
Actually, my question got answered. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Hillcrow? Yes. You're off the hot seat.
Thank you very much.
Hey, we'll take testimony now from the Anchorage LIO office. Looks like the first one on the list is Anna Fairclough. Assemblyman Fairclough, are you there?
Good morning, Representative Meyer. Good
morning.
I just want you to know that we have you on TV screen and watching you in 3D color. You'll be all happy to know that it has snowed this morning and traffic is not moving well on the Glen Highway.
Good. That's good to know. Don't you guys have an assembly meeting today?
We do not. Today is election day. I hope you all have went to the airport and cast your ballots.
I don't know if Representative Scalzi and Representative Morgan did, but...
Well, thank you all for coming together this morning and hearing Senate Bill 88. You've all received a copy of the Anchorage resolution opposing this action. As has been stated, we don't need to go into it again, but we believe that the Anchorage Assembly believes this is a local process and should be maintained at a local level. So I'll just go into some of Senator Phillips' points, who I'll let you know, has been invited, as well as all of our communities, to every meeting that we have. AMAS is noticed, like all other assembly meetings, so that people do know where they're at. And in the 6 months that I've served on AMAS, I have always met in the mayor's conference room. And we do have work sessions that may change on times, but usually our major meetings meet at the same time, and everyone is welcome to testify at that time. As you know, in the legislature, sometimes you listen to many, many people's perspectives on different issues and different projects that are going forward. And then as a policy committee, we have to make tough decisions that don't always complement a particular person's position. So we all have to make hard decisions. We do not please everyone all the time. That is certain. Speaking to the Hawaiian Metropolitan Planning Organization and Senator Phillips, using that as an example of a good working MPO, our own director, Lance Wilbur, was sent to the Hawaiian Metropolitan Planning Organization to try to show them how to do the job better. The federal government was under the impression, it's my perspective, that they believed our process was actually functioning and producing projects and road work improvements much more quickly than the Hawaiian process was. And one of the positions that was pointed out by Lance there from the people that are frustrated in Hawaii are that because leadership is on an elective body and changes over the course of time, that so did the priority levels. So it became very parochial that we want things done in our backyard as more elected officials were added to the process. Speaking to Representative Guess's comment about citizen participation, at every meeting that the AMATS Policy Committee has, at every agenda item, not waiting till the end, people can stand up or raise their hands, and we recognize them, and they partake in the conversation. That does not mean that we incorporate all those ideas, but it does mean we hear them, and we are receptive to those communications.
Any questions for Ms. Fairclough?
Seeing
are you cutting me off, Representative Meyer, or can I continue? I'm looking at a list.
I'm sorry, Ms. Firkle. I thought you were finished.
I know. It was a spilling pause.
Yes.
I'm wondering how the legislature believes that it can improve the process. I do appreciate the 10% that's contributed by the state. We do have many, many roads inside of the municipality of Anchorage that are state-owned. I want the body to know that the Anchorage Assembly officials that serve on the board do not and cannot go after their own political interests. We have to answer the Assembly body as a whole. And by that I mean the Assembly actually directs the two members that are appointed to the AMATS Policy Committee as to the direction of their vote. So Anna Fairclough on AMATS Policy cannot ensure that the Business Boulevard project is turning dirt this year, but I'll have you know that it is. And as well as South Anchorage, I can't ensure it, but I represent what the entire body wants us to do on that particular decision. I'm going down my list, Representative Meyer.
Okay.
The big issue that I have, and the final one that I'd like to speak to, is separation of power. While the state of Alaska is very much appreciative in receiving and giving to the city of Anchorage the 10% money to match the federal highway dollars, we believe that there's a separation of power issue, not necessarily the dual office that I hear you speaking of today, but an actual separation of power as far as the Constitution goes. And that is those that are appropriating the money are now stepping into the process politically to tell us how we're going to spend it. So with that, I'd be welcome any conversation or questions and let other members of the Assembly speak to you.
All right. Thank you, Assemblyman Fairclough. Any questions? Seeing none, it does look like we have quite a few of the Assembly members there. So did you notice this Assembly meeting? Just kidding. let's see. The Assembly Chair, Mr. Traney, are you, Assemblyman Traney, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Mr. Meyer. How are you doing?
I'm doing real good. Good to hear your voice again.
First of all, I agree with Senator Phillips. Let's get right down to the point. This is bad public policy. And as an Assembly and as an Assembly Chairman, I'm opposed to this. So we'll get that out of the way first. My question to you, Kevin, is how many legislators did you appoint when you were chairman of the Assembly today, Matt?
I didn't appoint any.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Reference the sponsor's message. It states that legislators have a direct link to constituents and councils where many of the needs are initiated, and therefore should have more input than as policy committee. I take objection to this because the people that attend the community council meeting are the Assembly members, and believe me, and you know it because you served as both Assembly member as chairman. If you don't listen to the community councils, they will knock on your doors and let you know their opinion on AMATS-related issues, or in my case, my wife just lets me know directly as community council president. You've dealt with her. When you take a look at this in total, the process works now. I was appointed to AMATS before when I was first elected to the Assembly. The process works. We do not need to tinker with it. It's bad public policy. And I really think we have a more direct relationship to constituents than individuals down in Juneau. It's a lot easier to get to us than it is flying down to Juneau. So I would appreciate this not going forward. Bad policy. Thank you, Kevin.
Okay. Thank you, Assemblyman Traney. Any questions for the new president of the Assembly? Seeing none. Thank you, Dick. Okay, we'll take a break here. We'll go to Tom Brigham. Tom, are you there, please?
I am. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name's Tom Brigham, Planning Director, DOT. Normally, I would be with you there, but other business brought me to Anchorage, so I'll have to be the voice out of the box today. I have 5 points. The first is... We do not, the administration does not support this bill, and we do, in fact, agree with the Assembly. We believe it's bad public policy. Secondly, since the creation of AMATS, there has always been one more assembly vote, one more Anchorage vote or municipal vote than state vote. Originally it was 2-1, and currently it's 3-2. Not very many issues come down to municipality versus state, but if they do, the municipality can always outvote the state. This would shift the balance of power. You would have 4 state votes and 3 municipal votes. I believe that adds up to diminished local control. Thirdly, the MPO is charged with, unlike many elected bodies, the MPO is charged with looking at area-wide transportation problems and coming up with solutions. It is not a parochial body. One does not go there to vote the concerns of one's district. And with all due respect to Senator Phillips, that is the kind of problem he's been talking about, and this is not the body to get that problem solved. Fourth, you do have 2 letters, and Representative Scalzi was pretty much on the money with this. The first letter says there is no problem per se in having legislators on AMATs. However, the second letter, George Shaner's letter, says that you can't simply unilaterally, that the legislature can't simply unilaterally appoint them to AMATs. What has to happen is AMATs has to vote to put additional representation on. What you create by passing legislation that would put 2 legislators on AMATs is in effect a train wreck, because you then, based on Mr. Shaner's letter, you create or you precipitate a redesignation. The redesignation is, if you look at the federal regulations, is something that's done by the governor and the local elected officials. So then where are we? The SB 88 says specifically that it should be construed in accordance with this act in a manner that does not constitute a redesignation, but what Mr. Shaner's letter says is that that's not possible. And lastly, just let me say in response to the concerns over public meeting times and whatnot, AMATS does have a federal grant specifically to work on and improve their public process, and I believe they're doing that. And those are all the points I have, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Brigham. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony. Okay, another voice from the past here, Assemblyman Menteshi. Are you there, Assemblyman Menteshi? Assemblyman Menteshi, are you there, sir?
Yeah, we're trying to turn the microphone on. Can you hear me, Mr. Chairman?
We can hear you fine.
Thank you. Yes, my name is Alan Teshi. Represent the downtown district. I certainly want to underscore the importance of what the committee is dealing with today. Roads and transportation systems are the backbones of neighborhoods. They last for hundreds of years. So who makes the decisions as to where the roads will be built and how those decisions are made are fundamental to what results in our neighborhood. So these are very, very important issues that we're looking at today. I first want to commend the sponsors of the bill for their dedication and their public service, their willingness to take on additional responsibilities at a local level to make decisions that certainly will affect local constituents in a tremendous way. But I do have concerns, many of which are shared by the other people here. There is a temptation in government, and I certainly sense this from my government service. It's always easier to do somebody else's job. It's always easier to do the legislature's job if you're in the local government, or it's always easier to do another department's job if you're in the administration rather than your own. I wonder, Mr. Chairman, how the legislature would feel if municipalities, out of a sense of frustration, decided to take it on themselves to prepare a long-range fiscal plan for the state of Alaska. That's a task that I thought is always reserved to the state legislature. Same comment about a meaningful constitutional amendment that will address subsistence. Whether the legislature has acted on these matters is another issue. Perhaps it's a political issue. But the point that too often one level or unit of government is tempted to take on the work of another level of government is something I think that should be guarded against. And that, of course, gets me to the major problem that I have with this bill. And being as blunt as I can and being a representative of neighborhoods and people that are very concerned about where roads go, how they are built, and how roads can either make or break neighborhoods, it's obvious what is going on here, and we just simply have to stay on point. This bill will shift the balance of power and the responsibility for decisions on local roads from Anchorage to Juneau. And we can't say that, well, wait a minute, because these representatives, these new representatives, the House member and the Senate member, will naturally reside in Anchorage, that they're really local residents and local folks. That's simply not the case. First of all, they're physically absent from this community for at least one half of a year. They do not have the direct contact with private citizens that members of the local governing body have on a constant basis. They instead live in Juneau. Now, in Alaska and in Anchorage, if we truly want to simply allow the process of deciding how our local roads in Anchorage are built and who builds them, if we want to simply delegate that to Juneau, then let's call it as it is and go ahead and pass out this bill. But I think for the people of Anchorage, the people of Anchorage and the neighborhoods who care about road projects, they need access to the people that make these decisions. Two other comments. One, as far as the correspondence from the Federal Highway Administration, I think you should take a very hard look and a careful look at the Schoner letter, the second letter there, and remember the advice and caution of the Assistant Attorney General. Now, I'm a lawyer, and yes, we can simply avoid these unpleasant issues by saying, well, that just comes from a lawyer, and you know lawyers disagree about anything. Okay. Caution is observed. I guess my question, the way I would frame the issue for you folks is this issue so important to the legislature that you're willing to take the risk of a major restructuring of our local policy on roads in Anchorage or run the risk of a confrontation with the federal government? Is it so important to you that you want to run that risk? And I think that's the issue that you have to look at here. Finally, a comment about the mayor's letter. Mayor Wirch has apparently, and of course I haven't seen it, he didn't share it with me, sent you some sort of a letter apparently supporting SB 88. That letter, of course, contravenes the legislative policy of the municipality as expressed through Anchorage Assembly in a resolution that we passed. And I think, quite frankly, the mayor's out of step for two reasons. One, this matter is a legislative matter and not something vested to the executive branch. And simply and more directly, I think the mayor's out of touch with the assembly. So while you can dismiss the assembly on this and simply say that, well, we have the mayor's letter, I would urge you to proceed with caution because the presence of at least five members of the assembly here and the resolution suggests that there is a very strong sentiment in Anchorage that there's nothing wrong in Dodge City that needs to be fixed through this legislation. So I would urge the committee not to vote this bill favorably and stand for any questions you might have.
Thank you, Senator Teshi. Certainly, this isn't the first issue where the Assembly and the Mayor haven't necessarily agreed upon, so that's understandable. And another comment, Ms. Assemblyman Teshi, if whatever help and advice and guidance you can give us on a long-range plan, we would certainly take. So feel free to give us any input on the long-range fiscal plan. We are joined with the presence of Representative Murkowski for the record. Any questions, Representative Helfer?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. More or less just to comment some of Assemblyman Teshi's comments. When I first saw this bill, and this isn't the first time, I saw it a couple of years ago when it was introduced by Senator Donnelly. And just listening to the people in my community council, and we have an actual AMATS representative from Sand Lake Community Council who attends most of the meetings and sends emails and updates us. you know, I think there is a level of frustration, a high level of frustration. I mean, certainly I have to go no further than just ask my wife, who has to traverse Lake Otis and Tudor every morning to get to work. And I think you will find a high degree of frustration. You know, I've grown up in this community in Anchorage. I grew up off of Tudor Road when it was a two-lane dirt highway. I lived there when they put that bike trail in for the first time in the mid-70s. I am still amazed at our community's lack of planning as it relates to roads. There is no reason why we shouldn't have more north-south corridors and east-west corridors. But, you know, getting to your point, you know, we certainly want to respect local control. In your comment that roads last 100 years, I agree, but it seems that we haven't built a road in Anchorage in 100 years. So, I think we hear from constituents as well as you do. My constituents are frustrated not only at the lack of decent roadways in their condition, but the fact that it now takes them longer to get from Sand Lake to Muldoon than it does from Muldoon to Palmer. And I think it's something that we seriously need to look at. I look at other communities, for instance, Fairbanks. I mean, they have got a tremendous road system up there and a population a fraction of the size of Anchorage. So, you know, regardless of what we want to say about the process, I don't think it's working. And I certainly think that the people of our community are frustrated, as I hear from them. But I do respect your wish to maintain local control. I do think that's important. But if we're going to talk about local control, then we might want to talk about the municipality accepting responsibility for all of the state-owned and maintained roadways in Anchorage and, you know, give them total local control. So, I mean, I do think there is a place for the legislature in this process. I'm not quite sure if this is it. But, you know, there is no question that there is a high level of frustration at the lack of planning and the lack of execution in building new roadways in Anchorage.
Thank you, Richard Helco. Okay, let's move on. Why don't we come back here to Anchorage, Dennis Pochard, with the Department of Transportation.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. For the record, my name is Dennis Pichard. I'm with the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities in the Commissioner's Office. I know that Tom Brigham already testified, so I'll try not to repeat what Tom mentioned earlier. But I wanted to kind of take a second to just back up and talk about why MPOs are here in the first place. It was 20-some-odd years ago in the transportation appropriations process at the federal level, large municipalities and large urban areas across the country wanted to large many millions of dollars of federal funds trying to get that money directly. The federal government and the Federal Highway Administration didn't want to establish relationships with, you know, 1,000 or more governmental entities and to have to oversee those relationships and account for those relationships. So as a compromise, the federal government came up with the MPO. They basically said that we're going to keep our 50 relationships with the 50 states, and we're going to give the money to the states through the state DOTs and through the state governments, and they can decide how much money the local government's going to get. But once the money goes to the MPO, the MPO gets to decide exactly how to spend the money within their boundaries. And that was by design, by federal law. And that's why we're here today with the MPO in place. I also wanted to state that, you know, we at DOT recognize the problem and the frustration that you're all mentioning, and I think that that AMATS recognized the problem and the local assembly recognized the problem, and about a year and a half ago went out to the federal government and applied for a grant, which is a TCSP grant, which is a local planning grant. They received a grant of $250,000 and went out to do a study of public processes and effective public processes and tried to come up with suggestions and recommendations of ways to improve their own public process and to improve their communications. That study is in the final throes of being completed, and I've seen a draft and have a draft if anybody would like to see a copy of it, but I think there's some excellent recommendations in there, and I think that the AMATS policy committee will likely implement many of those recommendations and hopefully improve the process themselves. I also wanted to add a little bit on the conflicting testimony or the conflicting letters from the Federal Highway Administration. You do have two letters, and I think that Representative Scalzi was correct in his point that it's not necessarily that legislators can't serve on AMATS, it's how they get there. That's the problem. We think that this is bad public policy. We oppose this legislation. I think that before you vote for it, you should really thoroughly research and talk to the Federal Highway Administration, who's here today. Ask them questions to try and find out what the potential consequences of your actions are, because I really don't think that anyone wants to jeopardize the federal funds that Anchorage receives, and I don't think that any of you want to do that either, but I think that you should explore that thoroughly before you proceed and take action on this legislation. With that, I'll end my comments.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Murkowski.
Well, now I'm totally confused because we had in our packet the one letter dated April 5th from U.S. Department of Transportation. I apologize for being late. If this is a duplicate question, so I'm just now looking at this contradictory letter, and it's your position with the state that this is ill-advised because of how we would get the legislators onto the AMATS board.
Through,
so you're agreeing with the April 5th letter that this would constitute a redesignation of the MPO.
Through the chair, Representative Murkowski, yes, I agree with the April 5th letter that it's not necessarily that legislators shouldn't be on AMATS or can't be on AMATS. It's how they get there that's the problem. That and I think we heard testimony in transportation from Dave Miller of the Federal Highway Administration, who's here today, that the Federal Highway Administration agrees with the April 5th letter that the legislators adding themselves to AMATS would certainly not be consistent with federal law, and that there could be some consequences to those actions. So. I don't want to speak for the Federal Highway Administration, especially since they're here today, and you can ask them directly. But, that's the department's position, too. So.
Yeah, I take note here that there's a David Miller with the Division of Administration. Okay. You're with the Federal Highway Administration. Okay. You might, when we conclude the testimony, we'll probably have some questions for you. But. Thank you for
coming. Is he going to be speaking?
He didn't sign up to testify, but we can ask.
I'd like to ask him the question.
Yeah. What we get through the testimony? Okay. We do have some more people in Anchorage, LIO, to testify. Assemblyman Doug Van Etten. Doug, are you there?
I am. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Doug.
Kevin, to refer back to the gentleman from. DOT, who was just speaking, I apologize for not having his name. He made reference to a grant for a public policy process for developing a more effective process. That's called Anchorage on the Move. One thing, Kevin, it doesn't say is it doesn't call for 8 o'clock meetings. I'm rubbing my eyes. Okay, now down to the real business. I think most of the important points that that might be made on our end have been by the well-versed assembly members who've already spoken, but I'd like to reiterate a few of those. One being that that the AMATS process, as I understand it, seeks local input and constitutes local control. and I think local is the operative word there. It also is a year-round process, and as was pointed out earlier, the people who are elected to go to Juneau spend nearly half of the year in Juneau, and I would hate to ask those people to take their valuable time in Juneau to have to be involved in any more public process here in Anchorage than is absolutely necessary. And there's plenty enough responsibility at the state legislature level. There are many things that we on the Anchorage Assembly can't come to grips with at the state level that we appreciate the hard work that all of you in Juneau are doing. But by the same token, we have taken the responsibility, as mandated by the federal government, to work on the AMATS process as well as other local government level issues. If appropriations is the issue, and if 9% or 10% of the money comes from the state, then perhaps we should ask our federal representatives if they also want to sit on the AMATS committee, since 90% of the money comes downstream from Washington, D.C. Let's see. Another point, interesting point or important point about the AMATS process is it has to be consensus building. And in building consensus, the more voices that you have represented, the tougher it is to build consensus, and the more that those voices represent particular constituent issues rather than the broad overall community issues, the more difficult it is to build consensus. And as it is, I think Assemblyperson Fairclough pointed out very well that as a member of AMATS at this time, she can't alone represent Eagle River, or Mr. Tremaine, as the other AMATS representative, can't alone represent the interests of South Anchorage, that they have to be representing the overall best interests of the community. I'd like to point out one resolution, besides the resolution that's already been mentioned, where the Assembly has opposed SB 88. I'd like to also point out the Assembly Resolution 2001-79-S, in which the Assembly is asking the Department of Transportation to reevaluate their ranking criteria to more effectively reflect the volume of traffic needs that there are here in Anchorage, so that Anchorage, given this reevaluation of criteria, would actually be allocated more money. And that would then give AMATS a greater flexibility to make decisions on various projects that some people may feel have been pushed off from year to year, or may have been prioritized in ways that some people might not feel gave their particular projects an adequate priority. So additional money from DOT, designated by DOT, based on the volume here, would allow Anchorage to build those additional roads that it seems to be the case that many people are advocating for. I think I might have one or two more points here. Let's see. Actually, I think that'll just about do it for my testimony.
Okay.
Point back to Representative Halcrow. I appreciate you bringing up the issue of local control versus state control on roads here in Anchorage. The transfer of control is being researched right now, and the transfer of responsibility agreements will undoubtedly be forthcoming within the next few weeks or months that would line out transferring control of numerous roads that are currently state roads to the municipality. So I think that AMATS, the Assembly, and their workings with the Department of Transportation have very effectively shown that we're working for the best interest of the overall community here. And I don't think that the balance of power on AMATS needs to be shifted, as has previously been pointed out, from the municipality to the state. There's an adequate job being done here, and a very proactive job, as witnessed by resolutions passed by the Assembly and actions that the local AMATS committee members have initiated. Thank you very much, Mr. Meyer. I appreciate the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Assemblyman Van Etten. The next person there in the LIO office, or LIO, Anchorage LIO, is Assemblyman Dick Tremaine. I understand, Dick, you are the you still are the AMATS representative. Is that correct?
That is, that is Representative Myers. Thank you. It was good earlier to see so many of you. They've cut our TV off. We only get to talk to you now.
Oh, good.
I'm not sure if that's retribution at some level or what. But it was good earlier when I could see a number of the representatives that I'm familiar with from Anchorage and some that I know from other parts of the state. My fellow assembly members have been articulate, and so let me try not to repeat what they've said. The problem is that there's not enough dollars coming to Anchorage. When you have a shortage of resources, you have conflict over their use. Plain simple, really no confusion about what causes that. In addition, it's a seven-year process to build federal roads. 7 years means that by the time you start thinking about it and writing it down, till the time that the pavement is dry, seems like a whole generation has gone by, and that leads to utter frustration. That's a federal problem. It's not a state problem. It's not a local problem. Anchorage doesn't get its fair share of dollars. I think it may have been pointed out, and I'll say it again, we have about 40% of the people and about 20% of the dollars. As Representative Halcrow pointed out, we have a lot of congestion here, especially in certain areas of town. And I will suggest that congestion is not a linear function of population and vehicles, that there is something exponential involved, especially when you have a community that is geographically spread out, as Anchorage is. What that means is one could argue that we would need even larger amounts of money because the congestion as we go back and forth to stores that are in different parts of town, back and forth to jobs in different parts of town, require more travel miles per vehicle per capita. I think the legislative intent to help us is wonderful, but that should be focused perhaps on assisting us in getting more federal dollars, in giving Anchorage a more equitable distribution of funds within the state, and also in upgrading state roads. Assemblyman Van Etten just spoke about TORAs that are being written up and a transfer of responsibilities and I presume maintenance, if not, and or ownership of roads to the city. Many of the state roads are in sore need of repair. There will be a large transfer of dollars required to bring those roads up to snuff if you're going to give them to us, and we're going to need ongoing operations maintenance funding. Unlike many other mandates that we have gotten from the state, and I know you, Representative Myers, are fully aware of this, Anchorage has been the recipient of a number of legislative mandates that don't come with dollars, and they have hurt us tremendously, and that effect continues. In terms of legislative participation on the AMATS committee, we seek it now. We send out email notices. We send out agendas via email. And I think Senator Phillips articulated it the best. When Assemblyman Fairclough and I were in Juneau some weeks ago, and we said, well, Senator Phillips, there's a meeting this coming Tuesday. We're having meetings every 2 weeks now, and we'd love you to come. And he looked at us and said, I have a life. I can't just show up at meetings in the middle of the day. And I think that is correct. You guys are really stretched to the edge. You're away from home. You're down there a long time. When you come back here, you have things to do. There are ways to participate, but membership on there may not be the way. And so having said all that, let me just lighten it a tad to tell you that, as you know, I represent South Anchorage, Diamond Road South. There's 52,000 people in that district right now. So if worse comes to worse, perhaps my district separates itself from Anchorage, we would then be the second entity in the state eligible to have a metropolitan transportation group, and four legislators could come up to Anchorage to discuss roads. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Senator Tremaine. I think we can come to a safe conclusion here that the Anchorage Assembly is opposed to this Senate bill. Is there anybody else in the audience who would like to testify? Okay, I'll go ahead and close the public testimony. He didn't want to testify. He was just available for questions. And then we're going to have Senator Phillips come back also. Is there questions? Senator Phillips, did you want to comment on any of the testimony we've heard today?
Indirectly relates to the amen. Some of the comments from the Assembly, and I think, frankly, I'd be remiss if I didn't stick up for the legislature. Those are the members around this committee here from Anchorage. You are residents of Anchorage. You represent a constituency every 2 years, and we live there. We live, eat, and sleep there. Now, we may not be there for 4 months of the year, and I emphasize 4 months because I'll speak for myself. Generally speaking, I'm the last guy that comes in Juneau during session and one of the first to get out of here. Secondly, all of us are in constant contact with our constituency. There isn't a week that doesn't go by that I'm not in contact with the assembly people from my area plus the school board people, and I'm in contact with my constituents every hour of the day, literally. So I don't want to have the assembly think that just because we're down here, we're camping out for 4 months of the year down here, and that's essentially what we're doing. We're camping out. We don't live here. We don't represent the people here in Juneau. We represent the people of Anchorage. And I just want to make that message loud and clear to the assembly, not meant to be as a challenge, but just to let them know that all of us are here to represent the best interests of all the people in Anchorage, and that's what we're here for. Just because we're 800 miles removed for 4 months of the year doesn't mean we're actually living here. I think those members here from the Anchorage area, can you honestly say you're living in Anchorage, your life here in Juneau? Probably not. Our lives are back there, and our roots are there. So we never forget it for a second while we're down here. Anyway, I want to make sure to the assembly that we represent what I believe the best interests of Anchorage.
Senator Phillips, you may want to stay nearby. We're going to.
Yeah.
I'd like to have David Miller with the Federal Highway Administration come forward and take your questions. I noticed you did not sign up to testify, but you're willing to answer any questions we may have.
Absolutely. For the record, I'm David Miller. I'm the Division Administrator for the Alaska Division of Federal Highway. I'm here to answer questions. I see our letters have caused some confusion. Any questions?
Representative Murkowski.
If you could just clarify for me the discrepancy, and it may be that it's clear on its face. In the February 22nd letter, you seem to indicate that participation of state legislators on the board is not precluded by the federal regulation, but then you have the proviso providing the provisions of Title 23 CFR Section 450 are followed. And then in the subsequent letter from Mr. George Schoener, dated April 5th, he indicates that if short of a bylaw change or incorporation in the bylaws allowing the legislators to sit on the AMAS board, it would constitute a restructuring and a redesignation. And if you could just clarify, are these letters inconsistent in your opinion, or how do they track one another?
I don't believe they're inconsistent, and I think that, very simply put, the February letter was in response to a very specific question: is there anything in federal law precluding participation of state legislatures or legislators on AMAT's policy board? And no, there isn't. The question is how you get there, and if that is more to what the second letter deals with. If in fact, 75% or the local units of government representing 75% of the affected population, and the governor agreed and welcomed, invited the legislature to participate in some part of the AMAS process is one thing. To impose against their objections is another, in our view.
And just to follow up then, I have not looked at the CFRs, but Title 23, Section 450, does that spell out the process?
Yes, it does.
And I'm assuming that when it spells it out, it says you must have consent from the local governing body?
Yeah, yes. And in fact, it's very specific in that the formation of the MPO is a decision of, like I say, units of local government representing 75% of the population, which would be like the assembly, and the governor, that sets the membership of the board and the policies and procedures.
And if you fail to get the consent, are there any ramifications from the U.S. Department of Transportation Federal Highway perspectives? Are there anything in the CFRs that say not only can you not do this, but if you do it, there are consequences?
Well, it's very difficult to speculate on all the scenarios that could play out under this legislation. Normally, what we would have would be the local government and the governor working with the board. In this case, we have a top-down approach, and I think Mr. Brigham called it a train wreck, and that's, in my opinion, exactly what you have. If, for instance, the legislation is passed and the governor signs the bill, we could take that as a sign that he agrees, you know, for his part of the redesignation, that this is okay. If the governor was to veto it, that would be a clear indication that they're not in agreement. And, you know, what's the assembly going to do? I don't know. What would the legislature do? Would they overturn a veto? I don't know. You know, it's very difficult to speculate. I think that it would be fair to say that the MPO and the planning process as established in federal law needs to continue in order for federal aid funds to be spent in Anchorage. What would be the triggering mechanism? By what point would we determine that the process has failed? I don't know. And would that even happen? I don't know. You know, again, I can't look into a crystal ball and do those sorts of things. It's interesting in this instance that we would consider passage of this legislation to be a redesignation under federal law. And under that federal law, the funds would continue to flow into AMATS under the existing TIP and program of projects until that redesignation occurred. If the, you know, another scenario, and again, I hate to speculate, governor and the assembly could abolish AMATS, which time funds would cease to flow. So, it's very difficult for me to speculate what might happen, but, you know, all the consequences that I see are all the scenarios could have could have different consequences here.
If I could just follow up on that then. So if in fact this legislation should pass both bodies, governor signs it, he's got consent from above, if the assembly then approved, it would not be construed as a redesignation at that point in time, and we'd be okay. If the assembly did not sign off on it, then you don't have full consent from top to bottom. It would be construed as a redesignation, and there are federal highway funds that could be jeopardized.
We would consider passage of this legislation as a redesignation under federal law.
Even if all parties consented after the fact?
Even if all parties consented after the fact, our process is intact, we continue on.
Okay. But if you would consider it a redesignation, then again, my question is, what are the consequences attached to a redesignation? Is there some way that we could jeopardize federal highway funding because you have interpreted this to be a redesignation?
Yes. I mean, if the redesignation occurs and without a formal I'm trying to find the right words. A formal motion or formal action to abolish the existing MPO, we would proceed with the existing TIP and transportation plan. Those have a shelf life. At some point, there has to be something has to happen, and whether the assembly agrees or disagrees, the governor agrees, disagrees, you know, I guess I'd hate to speculate, but we need to, you know, depending on what happened in those circumstances, yes, funds could continue or no, funds could be turned off. It just depends. Does that help?
Well, I'd like to know if contained in the federal regulations, in the CFR, there's anything specific that says that if you fail to, if you do have a redesignation without consent, that it could jeopardize the status, not necessarily jeopardize the status of the MPO, but have financial consequences to the state.
I don't think the CFR contemplated that necessarily. It does not specifically address, to my knowledge, redesignation without consent. That doesn't make any sense. If you redesignate from those units of local government and the governor agree. If we pass the bill and they don't agree, there's no redesignation, the MPO is not functioning.
Representative Helcroft.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Miller, could you comment on Hawaii's process? We've heard a number of references to the efficacy of their legislative input into their AMAS procedure. Could you comment? Do you have any experience with that?
Really, my knowledge of the Hawaii situation is I really don't have any, and I don't know if during the original designation, if the legislature was put on there, or it happened after the fact. I don't know.
Any other questions? Yes, Representative. Yes.
I'm still confused, and that's okay. I won't try to walk you through it again. But would if AMATS decided to put legislators on AMATS, would that be a redesignation?
Yes. That's okay. The law, the 23 CFR, accepts redesignation.
Okay, so any changes. So redesignation is okay. We just don't know if But there's nothing in regulation that says that if it's not unanimous, it's a redesignation and it's not unanimous. I mean, I'm still confused about Representative Murkowski's question.
Well, maybe to restate this, it's absolutely acceptable for the MPO to add membership, okay? In an instance when the units of local government and the governor agree, that's fine. You want to add somebody from the transit board or somebody from whoever, that's not a problem. If you want to add a state legislator, that's no problem. If the local units of government agree to it and want it and vote it on, it's a redesignation. It happens. Typically, adding a membership would not be a redesignation. In this instance, because this is coming from the state legislature and there's at least the appearance that it's an imposing of the legislator's will upon the MPO, we would take the position that this is a redesignation and that the governor's agreement and the local assembly would have to, everybody would have to be in agreement with it.
And if they weren't in agreement?
And if they weren't in agreement, then we don't have a functioning metropolitan planning process in the state, and it'd have to be resolved either, between the governor and the assembly and the legislature would resolve the issues. If it's not resolved, the process is broken and it's not complying with 22 CFR. At that point, when that decision is made, at that point, the funds for Anchorage become in jeopardy.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thanks, Mr. Miller. Okay, this time we'll bring back the sponsor. If there's any final additional comments, questions for this sponsor, do we have any? Okay. Don't see any additional questions. What's the wish of the body?
Mr. Chair, just a comment because Assemblyman Tremaine brought up a point that's raised. I've heard raised quite frequently since I've been in the legislature, and that is that Anchorage doesn't get its fair share of federal highway money. And I was copied on a letter that Commissioner Perkins sent to Senator Donnelly regarding that same subject, and I think it would really be helpful if all the members from Anchorage read that letter, that response from the commissioner, because I think it was incredibly enlightening. And the commissioner did a wonderful job pointing out that saying, okay, yes, you could place the argument that the federal highway monies within the municipality, maybe we get a smaller percentage, but there's projects that are done outside the municipality that directly help and improve traffic flow and the quality of life for those in Anchorage. For instance, the proposed Palmer-Wasilla interchange, that helps people in Anchorage getting out to their places where they recreate and helping folks out in the valley get into Anchorage in a more orderly fashion. So I know Dennis is here, and Dennis, if you could get everybody a copy of that letter, because I think it was probably one of the best response to a question I've seen since I've been in the legislature regarding federal highway monies that Anchorage gets, and the commissioner did a wonderful job of explaining exactly what other projects benefit Anchorage that we don't necessarily count as Anchorage projects. So I think that's something to keep in mind.
Any other questions, comments? If not, what's the wish of the body? Velcro?
The body.
Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill Number 88 from committee with individual recommendations in the attached zero fiscal note. And I certainly can't speak to. It has another committee of referral, the Finance Committee, so I think it will get due review up there. So I would move we move Senate Bill Number 88 from committee with individual recommendations in the attached zero.
Any objection? See, no, that's Done. Any other comments to bring before the body? Yes, go ahead. Good idea. Thank you, Senator Phillips. Meeting's adjourned.